Welcome back. Hope you had a good quick break after that last session. I know, again, I keep mentioning every session, I'm very, very excited to be here.
Yep.
And I'm back again today for the first time today with my good friend Dave Oils again for our next session in developing 2D and 3D games with Unity on Windows, Prime 31, and Azure Mobile Services, how to do cool things like leaderboards by using the cloud in your application.
Okay, absolutely. Like Adam said, we're going to get started with one of my favorite topics, and that is Azure Mobile Services, and like you said, how to get tied in with your Unity game in particular. So I spent some time kind of creating, working with Prime 31 and creating, best to say, a sample to kind of work with your developers so you can better understand how to get this working within your application itself.
Prime 31 providing, of course, a year of free plugins for Unity for the Microsoft platform.
Yep.
Be it their Essentials plugin, do things like Live Tiles, which we'll actually look at the next session.
Mm-hmm.
Azure Cloud Integration, in-app purchases, things like that. So free for 1 year from prime31.com.
Absolutely. So quick module overview. We're going to be doing things like an intro to the Azure plugin, creating your first mobile service in Azure. Understanding how Unity handles DLLs is a very eccentric and sometimes complicated method. So we'll work with you to get that done.
Eccentric, indeed.
We'll understand how to install the plugin, compile our actual project, as well as walk you through bits of the code. It can seem a bit difficult at times, but once you break it down into small, digestible bits, you'll have a much, much better understanding of how it works, along with the functions available to us. If you're familiar with Link or search queries, you'll be familiar with this as well. And finally, we'll wrap things up with what other options exist for developers out there. So without further ado, let's get started with
Very
an
cool.
intro to the Prime 31 plugin. It's like Adam mentioned before, it is Prime 31 has a partnership with Microsoft to allow many of his plugins to be free for us for over the next year. So I highly suggest head over to prime31.com them out.
They're normally like $70, $80 plugins.
Right now, this plugin runs across the Windows 8 store. The phone should follow shortly. We're working with Unity right now to get that built in too. It will run inside the Unity editor, but you will not be able to actually connect to Azure itself. Again, go to prime31.com/plugins to find it. I'll take you there real quick to give you a better understanding of what the navigating it actually looks like. Prime31. We'll take a look at this. So the plugins page, you can't download the plugins directly through the app through the site itself. What happens is I go to Windows Store right here. You see all the available plugins. See download now, download, buy on the right-hand side. And what happens if I go to click on these, for example, the Microsoft Azure plugin, click download, I'll have to first register. So it's my name, first and last, and my email address. And then after I actually register, I'll receive a link in my email to download any of these plugins. I've already gone ahead and done that. So let's take a step back into the PowerPoints and understand how to get this integrated with our project. So it's also a great time to take a step back and understand we need to download the Azure Mobile Services SDK before we continue with this. So this does allow our Visual Studio project to then talk to the Azure Mobile Services backend. It's a NuGet package. So if you take a look at these slides immediately following this talk, or if you do a quick Bing search for Azure Mobile Services SDK, you can download it there, as well as from Visual Studio. I've gone ahead and done that already, so I'll save us the time there. So now, creating an Azure Mobile Service. So first of all, you're probably wondering, what is a mobile service for Azure? Well, first thing we can do is head to our Azure portal. And what that'll do is, allow us to take a view of what's going on here. So, go to Azure portal. So it's manage.windowsazure.com. When I click on that, it'll actually bring me to my portal, which you can already see here in just a moment.
I love that little progress bar.
Yeah, and we have actually a very nice preview that the Azure team is working on right now too. I don't want to get too complicated, so I decided to just stick with the simple one we have at this moment, but in the very near future, you're going to see what else they're working on. So on the left-hand side here, here are all the services that are available to me as a Microsoft developer. So most commonly, I'm checking out websites. But in this sample, I'm going to keep it simple. Go back to mobile services on the left-hand side. They even have a little mobile device, so you have a better understanding. And if I'm going to create a new service, I would go right here in the bottom left corner, on this new button. Click New. Compute is the first thing that pops up on my left-hand side, followed by mobile service, and then create. So now I'm prompted with another pop-up. I can then enter the URL that I want for this mobile service. It's not really going to matter because no one is ever going to see this except for you as the developer. So I could do something like test mobile service, and then it's going to add .azure mobile net at the end. So obviously this name's already taken. I'm not going to create a new one here because we currently have one. But generally what I'm going to do is create a new 20 megabyte SQL database. And the region is where you're located at this point in time. So I'm based out of Philadelphia. Therefore, most of my servers come from the East US region. And finally, the back end, you can use JavaScript, which then relies on Node.js. Or you can use the newer .NET version for other services. But for this particular plugin, it still requires the JavaScript version. So we'll stick with this for now. Once I make this plugin, or this Azure mobile service, I'll then be prompted with this beautiful screen right here. So you see, the one I've gone ahead and made for all of you to use on your own is called Unity Win8 Test. Click on that. And now I can see which platform I actually want to hit here. So I can make different backends for different platforms. I can have Windows, iOS, Android. And this is continuously going towards Microsoft's idea of slowly becoming platform agnostic and working with developers of all brands and all kinds.
That's pretty cool. Seeing all those different platforms listed on there is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And the fact it works so seamlessly across different platforms, web services such as HTML5 and JavaScript. So if you're ever confused at this point, we have Getting Started, which shows you exactly how simple it is to actually connect and run our app. And I'll even create a little sample demo app for C# or JavaScript for us. But up here on the top, I can find data, where I can see the leaderboard that I've already created ahead of time. So if I'm following along with some of my tutorials, which I also have on my site, I have many pictures of this, and you can see I'm constantly updating my leaderboard. So again, this is open to anybody who has access to mobile services at this point. This way they can add, remove, update scores. On the left-hand side here, we have an ID, which is automatically generated by Azure on its own. We also have a score, which is an integer, and a username. These are simply here to keep track of who is actually doing very well on our leaderboard at this point. So you can see I've already thrown some values in there. I've kind of manipulated them going along the last couple of weeks. But I've kind of kept them all beneath a certain number. So kind of under 200.
Built-in fields ID created at, updated that version. Those are ones you don't touch, you don't have no control over, all done on the server side by Azure.
Absolutely. That's correct. So even more up here, you can see we can have things like script, where I can add my own private functions in the back end if I want to manipulate this data in some way. We're not going to cover that today, though. I also have permissions. So, Adam, have you ever worked with Azure Mobile Services and permissions at all?
I have. In fact, when you mentioned about the scripts on there, it's kind of cool to note that it was initially provided you Node.js scripts that you could write on there. So you could use server-side JavaScript to do Node.js scripts. And then they finally released .NET scripts that you can have available on the server side as well. So really cool technology.
Perfect. So we've really got the best of both worlds. Like you said, if you're a .NET developer, you should feel right at home. But if you're also a web developer, JavaScript will work just as fine. So nice permissions we have here. We have this leaderboard. Okay, say we're integrating into our Windows Phone or Windows 8 or even iOS and Android Unity game. We may not want to open them up to anybody, because if someone had an opportunity to decompile or open our code, they could then access these leaderboards and perhaps manipulate either the names or the numbers at some point. So what we can do is we have table permissions here on the left-hand side. So I have insert, update, delete, and read. These are also functions that we'll have available to us within the plugin itself. And right now I have it set to anybody with the application key can open this up and manipulate the data. So look at these tables and these keys as really the URL or endpoint is essentially a door or an address to a location. And the key is exactly what it sounds like. It's the key to get through that door.
I notice in the list there, everyone. That could be a potentially dangerous drop-down to have enabled.
That could.
Unless
that
you
could.
Want that, right? You
could Absolutely.
Have everyone available to insert data in your application. That surely could work.
Right. But in this particular case, I decided to leave it open for everyone to leave it as simple as possible for developers to get started with. So we have authenticated users. You can also use a number of authentication services for Azure.
Various OAuth providers will integrate on Azure. Actually, a whole plethora of OAuth providers will actually integrate with Azure, so you can do all authentication to mobile services.
Right. So it's anything from Facebook. They don't currently have a Windows Phone or Windows 8 specific authentication platform, but what you can use is their HTML5 or RESTful interface to then talk to your Windows Phone or Windows 8 app.
Very cool.
Google has the same thing. Microsoft has identity, direct identity. So we have a number of ways we can kind of work with developers to authenticate users who are going in there. This way, anybody and everyone can't just jump in and add to the leaderboard. So right now I have it open for everyone, but let's take a step back. We also have the URL or the endpoint for where this actually exists too. So I click on this URL, pops up here, and you see it just says this mobile service is up and running. Perfect, looks good to me. Let's take a step back. So now we have our mobile service up and running. Let's have a better understanding of what this is exactly and how it can help us out. So you see right here, this little middle ground, this is the actual mobile service. This is what we were just looking at a moment ago. On the right-hand side, I have the SQL database, and that's where all this table data is stored. Again, that was the unique ID, the username, and the score. On the left-hand side here, we're showcasing a tablet and a screen of some sort to illustrate how we can go back and forth in our Unity game to this back-end mobile service and then pull from this database.
So I could, in theory, have a website looking at your leaderboard. Maybe I want some services integrated on the website side.
Right.
Maybe I have Windows Phone, Windows 8. My game's across iOS, Android.
Yeah.
I do similar services, a multi-platform Xamarin application. All those things can point up to that same leaderboard using the same API.
Absolutely.
And everything. That is amazing.
Yep. So you can limit to one specific platform, or you can open up to just about everybody to hit that same back-end service.
Very cool.
Okay. So how does Unity handle DLLs? Well, first of all, let's understand exactly what a DLL is.
What is a DLL?
Okay. A DLL is a dynamically linked library. Essentially, it's a collection of code and or data which may be used by several applications. So this include libraries or modules. So really, this is just common methods or things that we're going to have to use over and over. So essentially, we write them once and try to make them available to as many platforms as possible because they're going to share a lot of the same functionality. So with Prime 31 in this case, we have several DLLs that the developer had wrote that are available to us in our project. So first thing we understand is how Unity handles these actual DLLs. So inside of our assets folder, which is the main root folder for all of your Unity projects.
Everything's in assets?
That's right.
Everything.
We have a plugins folder. So sometimes you can be willy-nilly and name things however you like in Unity, but in this particular case, this folder has got to be called plugins. Now by default, Prime 31 has already created a folder called plugins for us, and then we have platform-specific folders on top of that.
So that's helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have Metro and WP8. So those are already designed by Unity. And what happens is, when you're building or compiling your Unity project, Unity will first do a quick run through, put everything together, and grab everything inside the assets/plugins folder. It then does another pass, and it looks for platform-specific folders, in this case, Metro and Windows Phone 8. And what happens is if there is another plugin or another DLL that has identical names, it'll then take the first one, say, okay, you're not very specific because you're just in the plugins folder, but I see you have a very specific one and I'm building for Windows Phone, so I'm gonna take that one in the plugins folder, get rid of it, and I'm just gonna overwrite what was originally there. This way it knows, okay, there must be a reason why you have this in a platform-specific folder. Okay, installing the plugin itself. Come over here and I'll show you. You see? Just like any other asset, I would download Prime 31 from that link in my email. I would open this up, and Prime 31's plugin or asset would look just like this. I have a plugins folder, Metro, Metro Azure, and Windows Phone 8. So Metro Azure actually just holds the scene and the data specific to this actual project. You see inside my plugins folder, I have three different folders we just went over, and the DLLs. So it's P31 Metro Azure and P31 REST Kit. So what these are is platform-specific plugins that Prime31 has already taken care of for us. This is what allows us to at least run the plugin inside of our Unity project. So they're essentially functions or methods that are empty. There's not much going on in there because they can't connect to our backend just yet.
Not quite yet. Almost.
Right.
Almost there.
And that's why I mentioned during the first few slides that you can open this up and take a look at our project, but we can't connect to anything just yet. So inside Metro Azure, which is really just my scene folder at this moment, so you have three different classes in here, my leaderboard class, my Metro Azure demo UI, and my to-do item, which we're not even going to use at this point. Let's open up this scene, and you'll see we have main camera and UI. Let's hit play, see how it pops up. It does not want to open up for me, or expand at least. Let's go to, where's maximize on play or scene? There we go. Here's my scene. Okay, so you see on the top left here, I have the Azure endpoint. And again, that's that same web address that we were looking at earlier. We checked it before and she said, hey, you're up and running.
All good to go.
So that's the house or address that we're actually going to.
That's the most important piece of the equation.
That's right.
That's got to be up and running. Without that, you're in trouble.
We're going to be a little lost along the way there. Moving down, we then have our application key. So like I said before, it's a long string of text that serves as our key to get through. So before, I said we made this available to just about anybody. I didn't want to overly complicate things, so I made it so anyone who has this key can then connect to our leaderboard. Hit this little button, and it would ideally connect to our Azure service. Moving over to the right here, we have our username, which again, I can add any name at this point. Right now, it's just looking for whatever is in this input field. It would then add it to my mobile service. I have a score. Ideally, as your game is going along, perhaps you're incrementing your score for every enemy you destroy or basket you get through the hoop. And I can insert that into leaderboard. So if I can adjust this a little more, this is kind of set. Do you know why this screen will not open up larger for me?
You want to go to the which one for the game tab?
Yes.
You can do a shift spacebar.
Shift spacebar. Ah, there we go. And it went away on me.
If you want your game tab, you have to get out of that and then go over to, the windows are kind of little.
Yeah.
Go to that game tab, then you can do, or maximize on play, either one.
Oh, that's what I was looking for, maximize on play. Okay, so we have our username, our score. I can then insert these things into the leaderboard. And then same thing here, once I connect to Azure, I could hit these buttons to list all the items in the leaderboard, or I could query all scores that are less than or equal to 200. So like I said before, this plugin requires DLLs to work, but Unity itself cannot understand these DLLs until they actually build the whole project. So if I hit these buttons here, nothing's going to happen. It's going to be unresponsive. You're going to see my little debug information right here in the bottom. See, connecting to Azure Mobile Service endpoint, but nothing's actually happening. So let's get out of this and understand what's going on. So you have installing the plugin. So we have our plugin, or our scene, at least up and running. Now I've actually got to build this project. So I go up here to File, Build Settings.
Look at all those platforms.
That's right. It's one of the selling points behind Unity for us, right? So you see, I've already gone ahead and included the current scene I have right here. This is my Metro Azure test scene. I have type set to C# project, so I'm be very careful here and let you know that the C++ projects will not work at this point. Right now it has to be a C# solution. Also, it's set for Windows 8.1 SDK. And then you don't need to have the C# projects here, but this is allows you to edit your Unity scripts within one instance of Visual Studio at a time. So one thing of note I want to make very clear here again as well is player settings. See this button right here? Let's click on this. I'm seeing the inspector window on the right-hand side popped up. So, on these settings.
All your platform-specific settings across whether it's Windows Store, Windows
yes.
Phone, web builds, iOS, Android, etc. All the goodies are right there?
Yep. And a lot of these, what they'll do essentially is alter the app manifest file within Visual Studio. So you can do it here, or you can often do it in the app manifest itself. But for this particular plugin, what we're going to have to do is go over here to publishing settings. Give myself a little more space to work with. And beforehand, if I hadn't edited this at all, it would say unprocessed plugins and say size 0. And I have the first element in the array here that says P31 Metro Azure DLL.
Very important.
Would you like to explain this and how the processing works in Unity?
They do some DL rewriting, so they actually look at DLLs and they reprocess it. They rewrite some information on there so they can kind of hook into it.
Yes.
So as part of that, they need to be in that list to kind of just leave it alone for the most part.
Okay. So Unity will always process plugins. It's just a matter of how many times it does it. So in this case, we're saying if it's unprocessed, it's not going to do two-pass processing, which it normally does.
Unprocessed means still process once, yes.
Yes, yes, exactly. So in this case, we need to add that to add our Prime31 Metro Azure DLL. So what is that exactly? Well, it's right here in our plugins folder. So if I click on plugins, it is this one right here, P31 Metro Azure DLL. So all we're saying is, hey, we only want you to process this one time and not twice. So it's very critical that we do this. If you miss this key step, your project will not build. Finally, for capabilities, your project will still build just fine here, but if you do not click Internet Client, and you go to build your project and then deploy it to our Metro store, it'll not pass certification. So what will happen is Microsoft will look at your app and say, hey, you're trying to connect to the internet here, but you didn't tell us about this. So what Microsoft's assuming is you're trying to do something malicious. You're not informing the user of what is going on. So in that case, I click Internet Client, and now the user and I both know, hey, to use this application, we're going to need to talk to the internet in some way. So now we have our scene included and those small changes done to our player settings.
So if you don't tell that, you will fail.
Yes.
Fail certification and your application just won't work.
That's right. Build. And like we've done before, I enjoy keeping a clean project. So what I'll do is I have my Prime31 project. I go to my builds folder, and I like to create a new folder for each project I'm working on. So we call it Metro. Again, the naming scheme doesn't matter here. It's just for simplicity and staying organized. So click on my Metro folder. And now we're going to see it's going to build my player here. It's going to take just a moment. See, post-processing. There we go. It's working its magic. And in just a moment, we'll have this folder pop up with our new Visual Studio solution. As soon as it's done, we will be good to go. And there we go. I know it's successfully built my project.
Very nice.
Always a comforting sign.
I know. You kind of wait for builds to finish. I mean, in any technology, you're building, you're waiting. Mm-hmm. It's like you hold your breath for a couple seconds. And the long builds are the worst because you're waiting a long time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like a 3, 4, 5, 8 minute build, sometimes in the middle of the process, you have a bug. Not in Unity in particular, but any projects we worked at.
Absolutely.
Some big projects in some past companies that took a long time to build. Yeah.
And I see why I became a web developer where you don't have to compile code.
That you just wait till the client reports a JavaScript issue.
That's it. Bug, feature. So now within our builds folder, I have my Metro folder, and you can see I have my new solution called Prime31 Azure. I'll open this up, latest version of Visual Studio. Remember, I mentioned before we have to download the Azure Mobile Services SDK first to get this to work. Without that SDK, this project will not allow you to connect to our backend. So we can close the other solutions here. Right now I'm looking at Prime31 Azure. And as you've seen many times throughout the last 2 days, I've got to change the debug settings on this. So right now, go to Conman, as we used to call it, Configuration Manager.
Conman, nice.
And set to an ARM tablet. But of course, I'm not currently building on an ARM tablet. I'm using an x86 machine. So go down to x86, make that change. And again, this only has to be done the first time that I go to build that folder. After that, that change is saved there. Go to Close, and Local Machine. So you saw right there, getting NuGet packages. So this NuGet package does not come with Prime31, but it's essentially a NuGet soft JSON that allows me to parse the JSON on my backend for my mobile service and then bring it into my Unity game itself. So I've already gone and put that together in this project. I'm in the sample, so it'll include it in your project as soon as you go to launch it. We see deploy started in the bottom left-hand side. Unity's popped up. Thank you for letting me know I can always switch between the apps. As soon as it finishes building.
There we go.
Get rid of this. Okay, we'll leave it there for now. But you can see this project is identical to what we were looking at before in our Unity browser. But now the catch is I can connect to my mobile service in the background. So again, I have my endpoint right here. So that's the address I'm trying to reach with all this information. On my application key, I'm going to connect to the Azure service. So I hit connect. Doesn't look like anything happened, so maybe I'm sweating a little bit. But hey, let's take a moment, see what's going on over here. So, my call stack, where is my output here, or my debug? They have changed this on me. Windows, no. Where is the console log on this machine?
Debug window output, I believe.
Debug Windows output, maybe this is it. Ah, this might be it. So I want you to see everything that I'm looking at this whole time. Okay, so I had my call in here. All right, here we go. Connecting to Azure Mobile Service with an endpoint and the app key. So I know that it's tried to connect. I put that debug function in there.
And keep that app key safe.
Yes.
Don't publish that over anywhere in the world.
Well, in this particular sample, again, I made this available for all of you, but generally I would keep that very, very safe and locked away in a nice location. So it looks like it connected to the Azure Mobile Service. But before I can hit any of these buttons, before they can do anything on the right-hand side here, I need to connect. That's why I have this little note up here. Connect to Azure, hit these buttons, then wait a few moments for results to return. So what I do right away is I want to list all the items in the leaderboard. So I hit list all items, and I have to wait a moment. And there we go. So I have the name with the name and the name field, along with the score for the individual. So I have Richie, looks like I got 200 points. Johnny Guy, my favorite person, 110 points. So you can see I was able to pull in everything there. The first time you pull this up though, it might take a few moments. So if you haven't used your Azure Mobile Service in a couple of days, a couple of weeks, it's spinning up that machine in the cloud in the background and then suddenly pulling all this in. So I have a number of functions listed here available to me. I have delete latest item. So what it's going to do is grab the top item in the list, and it's going to remove it from our board.
Just the last one.
Just the last one. And there we go. It's gone. So I see that happen there, but I'm not sure if it's actually happened on mobile service, right? Like, maybe it's just happened locally.
Maybe it's an application bug, and it's only removing from the list, not actually using the live data.
Yeah. So let's go back up top over here. Let's go back to our mobile service. Click on it. So back in my mobile service dashboard, I'm looking at data. Line leaderboard, and it looks like test today. So I have 10 items there. And how many do you see in Unity? 10. 10 and 10.
Perfect.
Lining up well so far. So I can also do things like insert a new thing. Okay, so let's go to Adam Tuliper. Looks like he's doing awesome. So I got 300 points in the latest game that we're playing today. Let's insert him into the leaderboard. It'll take a few moments, but he'll be inserted in there as well.
I love test data.
Always fun.
Always
right?
Looking at people's names and databases. Test data is fun.
Yes.
Manually enter test data because people are always inventive. You know, Charlie Brown and all sorts of funny little names. I've seen some crude ones, but I've seen some really funny ones too.
Well, I figured you're sitting next to me, so it's easy enough to use your name here, right? It's safe.
Adam Fadum.
So I had insert to leaderboard. And then I had to do a refresh. So I listed all the items on the leaderboard, pulled them in, and here we go. Adam's name is added to the bottom right here. Okay?
Do I have the high score?
I think so. Yeah, everyone else?
Yes, you're awesome.
230 seems to be the closest at this point. But again, let's go back to our dashboards to make sure. So nothing, no change here. I have to hit refresh, and let's see what pops up. Curious to see if Adam's name actually appears here.
Me too.
Fingers crossed.
I want my high score persisted.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be able to rub it in the noses of everyone else who goes to play that
Johnny
game.
Guy and whoever this Test Monday person is.
Yeah, and Unity Unity Tutorial Test. And here we go. Adam Tuliper, 300.
Nice.
Remember I said before, Azure provides a unique ID for me as well. So I've even gone to the trouble of adding debug functions inside of Visual Studio for you. So each time you pull in these leaderboard assets, you can see in a debug right here. Once it's finished pulling in the leaderboard, it says done with where. So that's the where function, and it's found 11 items. Because remember, just added Adam a moment ago. So it said queried all scores completed with leaderboard list 11. And it's going to give me insert items to the leaderboard. And it's inserting this actual item for us. So let's take a step back. We can see we can pull in information. We can insert. What if we want to update too? So Adam Tuliper, I'm going to update the latest item in the leaderboard, which should be the guy up top here. It looks like Richie scored 200. Maybe I'm going to keep his name to Richie, but I'm gonna give them a score of 300. So I have username, score, update latest, and let's go pull this in too. Oh, Richie didn't want an update there, but tough luck for him for right now. Oh, this guy didn't like me real quick. Insert.
Non-critical issue.
Yeah. Eh, he'll get to it. Oh, he doesn't like that. And here we go. Change the score 23. But Richie doesn't want to work with us today. That's quite all right. So now I have all this data. Why don't we see if we can query scores that are just less than or equal to 200? So in this case, you may have to go.
Or maybe just greater than or equal to 300.
Yeah. Oh, don't know what this utility is that keeps popping up. And there we go. So I hit latest scores, and we have the scores that are all less than 200 at this point. So again, you had 300 earlier today, but you're not there anymore.
In Visual Studio, sometimes you can set the levels of where you want to see exceptions. You can say, show me all the exceptions, show me exceptions in just my code. So I think that's what's going on there. It's just showing everything that's popping up behind the scenes.
Yeah, kind of hit or miss. So let's get back from this guy. Let's step through the code really quick so we have an understanding of how this all works. So stop this project. And again, there's really only one file we're looking at here, or essentially two. We have our Metro Azure Demo UI, which is our main scene. So right here, you see we're using some Unity-specific functions. We have Prime31. Let's close this up. We have a tutorial right up here. So you can download this from my GitHub. My name is David Voiles on GitHub. And have step-by-step tutorial with PowerPoints, along with 3 pages of actual content to walk through all of this. So right here, we have our little leaderboard object. Okay, so you have private leaderboard. It's an item, contains, again, just a username, which is I'm setting my ID to null because Azure will do that on its own, and accepting a score. So let's actually look at this leaderboard and what it does. So assets, oops, wrong folder. Scripts, nope, wrong one again. Plugins, there we go, Metro Azure leaderboard. So my leaderboard item, very, very simple, okay?
Make that text a little bit bigger.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
My eyes are getting older here. Oh, look at that.
So our leaderboard item is essentially just an ID, a username, and a score. We're just doing a getter and a setter. So something I want to make clear here as well is I needed to use underscores or lowercase for both username and score. Previously, I had capitalization, so I had capital U for username, capital S for score, and it wasn't returning. So make sure when you're creating this new leaderboard or leaderboard item, that use lowercase for both of them. Let's go back.
Are you saying it's case sensitive or must be lowercase?
In this particular case, it is case sensitive.
Okay.
Yes. So we have our leaderboard or our list right here, our leaderboard items, I should say. Then we have a list, which is really just a collection of the items in our leaderboard. Can I have minimum scores to return? So in this case, I'd set it to 100 and the column width, and that's how wide those buttons and all information is actually going to appear. So we have our serialized fields. So I have private strings. So I have private strings in Unity, but serialized field, what that essentially means is I want to keep it private. I don't want to share it everywhere in this project, but serializing means I get to expose it to the editor itself. So I can make changes there.
So in Unity, you can go in and set that value right inside Unity editor, but no other code classes can see that value.
Exactly.
Very cool. That's one of the neatest things I like about Unix. I used to have public variables everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it's just not very good for encapsulation,
right.
Object-oriented programming practices. And then I found out about the serialized field attribute. I'm like, oh, I can hide all of my data from my other class that shouldn't see it, but expose it in Unity's editor. Brilliant.
Exactly. Very cool. So a very much different mindset to go, you used to be a web developer where basically everything's global and JavaScript doesn't have a good sense of encapsulating everything. But C# is just the opposite because ideally you want to protect all of your code and content and keep most of it private. So again, we have our endpoint here and our application key. And then on GUI is a function we use for basically just drawing the buttons and the inputs that we have here. So I've kind of formatted this so you can see where we begin our layout, and then we also end it. Everything else is kind of indented. So I've organized it by columns, right? We have several columns here. Then we have buttons for the layout itself. So I'm not gonna spend too much time going into all the buttons, but we have one for draw endpoint and application keys. I have another one for connect to Azure Mobile Services. So that was that first button we saw before. Let's go back into Unity so we have an idea of what this actually looks like.
So as a first step before you do anything,
yes.
Connect, then worry about everything else after that.
That's right. So we have our Azure endpoint and our application key. So I have ordered these for the most part in the way that they appear on the screen from left to right. So I've draw endpoint, app key buttons. That's right. We have Azure endpoint, Azure app key. And what it's doing is setting that value to whatever you enter there. And there's our endpoint and there's our app key, right? First few functions we run across. And there's our button, connect to Azure service. And what do you know? A button says connect to Azure service. And again, because it's very much a sample project, I want all of you to learn from, I've kind of used debug.log all over the place, just so I can verify that I'm returning information constantly. So when you're actually building your project, though, and putting it into production, you're going to want to remove all this information. It's going to slow you down quite a bit. Then I have our draw insert button. And this is the first key Prime31 function that we're using here. So anything you see that begins with Azure, so if type Azure right here, azure.insert, that's actually a Prime31 function that we are using. So it's going to take something, our leaderboard item, and on success, it's going to use a Lambda function. Are you familiar with those?
I am. One of my favorite things in C#.
Yeah. Basically, an anonymous function if you're coming from a JavaScript background, I guess the best way to explain it.
Absolutely. Yep. Doing this inline function so you don't have to create a whole another function and then refer to that function.
Yep.
If you want to do a debug.log kind of encapsulated right there, you just do it right in line. Yep.
Exactly.
It's really cool.
It's very useful if you're only going to use a function one time for one particular case, right?
It's a weird syntax for people coming to the language. It's like, what is this? This looks weird. Parentheses, arrow. But once you get used to it, it's one of the best language features there is.
Absolutely. It took me a bit to wrap my head around as well, because you look at this parenthesis and you're thinking, what is this? And then it looks like equal or greater than, so all of a sudden you're assuming it has something to do with math, right?
That's true, true.
So really all I'm saying here is I have an anonymous or unnamed function. I'm not passing in anything as a parameter. And this is the function itself. It's really just debug.log. And I'm saying I've inserted a leaderboard item, and I want to just draw that name to the leaderboard. So I want to make sure that not only am I pulling in an item, but it's also the name of the person who I'm looking for, too. So that is our draw insert button. So we can list all items. So we have another button here, and fields, so that we can list all items in the leaderboard. Again, like you mentioned before, we're going to have to connect to Azure first before we can do anything. Then scroll down here a little bit more. You can see each time I'm removing everything in our current list. That's why I'm using leaderlist.clear. So I'm grabbing the items that are in our list that are being drawn to the screen and removing them, because like you saw before, sometimes I would draw everything, and then other times I'd only want to return, say, values that are less than or equal to 200 or 100. Another example may be you want to look for a particular person within a game. Like, how do I know? I want to see all the scores just done by list item dot username Adam.
Adam.
Right.
That's right.
So I can only return your information, display that.
Wow, this guy's got 300. I better play this game more.
That's right. That's right. So you can think of all kinds of creative ways to kind of use this. So again, this is very simple to link in many ways, where I'm querying this dashboard or this leaderboard. So I have my Prime31 function, azure.where, and I'm passing in, anonymous function. So I'm looking for the username, making sure the username is not null or not empty, saying, hey, give me a leaderboard, and make sure the leaderboard names are not empty. And then for each item in their leaderboard, I want you to say, hey, I've queried all the scores in the leaderboard, and I've completed everything with a count of, here's how many items are in this list. So you saw the first time we did it, we had 10, and I added Adam, and suddenly we have 11. So that's how you know that our leaderboard is actually being updated in the background as well. Then I'm setting my leaders list, which is above the top here. So this way my other functions can expose it. I'm saying for each item in this leader list, okay, debug.log, item in the leaderboard. So I'm saying take each item, write it out in our console like you saw before down here. And this way I know or I'm guaranteed that I've actually returned everything. So nearly wraps up everything we have for our Azure-specific functions.
Looks pretty easy. Just a couple function calls, give you a lot of functionality. Can you do me one favor?
Yes.
On that Azure object, just hit dot after it. I just want to see some of the stuff that kind of pops up on it.
Absolutely. Let's go back up to Azure right here. Azure dot.
Connect, could you expand that a little?
I don't think I can.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Azure dot. So at least we see the Azure dot. Everything else is still.
Oh, here we go.
Control.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect.
Oh, you know what? Here we go. Dot.
Clears away.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Connect to equal. Of course, that's built in. So connect, insert, lookup, update, where. Pretty simple API.
Yeah.
A few functions, keeps it nice and simple. Yeah. Just it's hard to kind of mess it up because you've only got a couple things available to you. But for reading data, that's all you need, right?
Absolutely.
Read, write. Easy.
Very, very simple. And you see, like we mentioned before, at the very beginning, we talked about authenticating with the service provider. So that could be anything like OAuth or Google Authentication, Facebook, even some of Microsoft's own services. So this way we can say, well, maybe we want the user to actually sign into one of these services first, and then we can verify if they actually are who they really are and add that to their profile.
Very cool.
So that really covers a lot of what we had here. Again, you can feel free to take a look at some of the source code we have. Let's go around the home stretch. Now we've taken a look at all the technical nitty-gritty. So we've walked you through the code, gone through the leaderboards, several of the functions, insert, delete, and update. Finally, we verified through the Azure portal, which you saw before. We added Adam with his fine score of 300.
Yes.
We pulled him into the leaderboard itself. But now we have Prime 31. What other options exist? Well, I quickly browsed through the internet fast, and I saw that another option was Bitrave. It requires Newtonsoft.json, so this might be a bit of a downfall for some people because that's a premium plugin for Unity. So Bitrave is free, and it does much of the same thing that Prime31's plugin does, but you'll need to download this $20 or $30 asset from the Unity store. And essentially what it allows you to do is serialize and parse JSON through a RESTful interface. This runs across more platforms, but again, a lot of the functions work identical to what we have here. If you visit my site in the near future, you can also see that I have a tutorial coming in for that as well. Again, our goal is to get developers using Azure and understanding how to write leaderboards and really take advantage of everything both Microsoft and Unity has to offer.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, JSON.NET plugin, $20. You can get it from the Unity store itself and build it into your project. So coming around the home stretch. What are Azure Mobile Services? Can you give us some fine examples of how you think you could use some mobile services?
Leaderboards, user storage, user data storage on there.
Hmm.
Multi-platform data storage.
So you're saying if I could really keep a lot of the same save information on perhaps Windows 8, and then how else could I use that?
All my player settings across all the devices that I want to deploy to. So I want to store the user's profile information,
right,
their name, whatever other information I'm collecting. Not just high scores, but
okay,
all sorts of other information. Maybe I want to store gameplay statistics, and I want to, I'm not using another analytics service, I could store all that data myself up there, so you can actually do all of your own little analytics, user storage, user profile, anything you can store data for.
Not a bad idea. Or maybe if you're a developer who works on multiple games, you could say something like, well, I see you've already played games A, B, and C. In that regard, why don't we give you games D, E, and F for free, or perhaps at a discounted rate? So their own backend, they could say, you've already logged in through OAuth in this way. I can verify you are who you say you are. You have several of our games, so I'll throw you a bone. Here's one or two for free for you.
Very cool.
Again, we can create an Azure mobile service, both through the dashboard itself that you just saw in Internet Explorer, or Visual Studio has its own tools built in to the Azure SDK. Again, no time to get into that, but feel free to look at it on your own. Compiling our project. We want to understand how the DLLs work. So again, very quickly, Unity will look at the plugins folder for any DLLs it has in there. Then as you're building for a specific platform, it's going to look for, say, Metro or WP8 for Windows Phone 8. Those are essentially preprocessor directives that Unity has built in already. If I'm going for Windows Phone, it'll look just for those plugins and build Azure for that platform, or DLLs for that platform. Again, if you're looking for other options in the future, Bitrave exists as well, but again, that requires a $20 additional plugin. This source code and more is all available at github.com, so feel free to look for me on GitHub. Ask any questions you'd like there. So I have many detailed tutorials along with about 5 or 6 times as many slides as we have here.
Nice.
So step-by-step instructions. If any questions along the way, feel free to ask. But I'm confident that you'll have no problem getting started as well. So thank you again for joining me today, Anna.
Thank you. That was a wonderful session. And join us next for our final session of the day, adding the finishing touches. We hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks.